God dwells in our midst. And as we come together this day, proclaiming resurrection hope and what the power of those words might be for us, it seems fitting that we move a little bit further up the road in the scripture to discover what those ancient original disciples did with this ancient story and this eternal truth when they first heard it. Our scripture reading this morning continues in the 24th chapter of Luke. Now on that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with them just went to the tomb and found it was just the women and said they didn't see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that the prophets have declared to not be true. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, 'The Lord appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, as we encounter you in scripture and in spirit this day, we pray that you reveal yourself to us ever more fully in light of your resurrection and life. Amen. When I read these verses of scripture in Luke, they don't exactly come across as scripture to me as much as they do the script for a movie I'd be into watching. I imagine that it's a funny movie, somewhere between the clever world of Wes Anderson and the little bit more slapstick comedy of, say, National Lampoon. A space where a story like this, a road trip journey with a ragtag team, who've just experienced a major life change find themselves face to face with a stranger who'll change everything, but plot twist, they already know him. Right? You are like seeing the movie trailer in your brain right now, as it is there in Scripture. It is indeed entertaining to imagine these disciples and their encounter with Jesus Christ, their teacher and friend and Savior, who finds them on the side of the road only days after he was crucified, and yet they don't recognize him. By now, they had heard the reports of the women at the empty tomb, and yet they do not recognize the Savior as he enters into their midst. It's easy for us to find the humor there, for us to laugh and giggle a bit, for us to be baffled by these disciples and their inability to recognize Jesus, who resides plainly and prophetically among the living. How could you not recognize the resurrected Christ standing next to you? How could your eyes not be focused on the one whose ministry and mission your life has been and will be about? How could you not notice that the one who was hanging on the cross is now hanging out with you in your very midst, waiting for you to notice, hoping that you might begin living in the light of the resurrection instead of in the shadow of the cross? Sure, as casual observers, it's easy for us to chastise, to chide, and to question these blurry-eyed disciples. And yet, we are not just casual observers. We too are disciples along for this ride, here on this road to Emmaus and Revelation. Like these disciples, we too are still rubbing sleep out of our eyes, and so often in our world find ourselves struggling to recognize the resurrected Christ in our midst. We, like these disciples, struggle to realize that Jesus has called us away from the death, derision, and darkness of Good Friday and into the life, love, and light of Easter morning. It's easy to orient ourselves through the lens of crucifixion because we have experienced the metaphorical depths and very real visceral pain that crucifixion causes daily in our world. Much like these disciples, we often pilot ourselves with a particular kind of tunnel vision, unable to shake that image of God's beloved, broken, bruised, crushed, and crucified. We're consumed by the memory of Jesus's arms outstretched on the cross as he laments, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And yet, here we are on Easter morning. And yet, here we are, modern and ancient disciples alike, drawn into a story that tells us there is more. There is more to this vision, this moment on the road, than just vision obscured, promises unfulfilled, and resurrection unrealized. There's hope. It is the hope that we come to claim that is the same hope those disciples proclaimed 2,000 years ago. Christ is risen. Y'all know I just like to do that because it's the closest we ever get to call and response, so thank you for obliging me. If anyone wants to say amen at any point, you can do that too. Amen. Clive's got me. God is alive and in our midst. The grace of God that defies all boundaries can break into our lives at this very moment. The love of Christ that defies all the powers of evil and death and destruction in this world can be made real in our world this very day. The power of the resurrection that defies death is a promise that invites us in. The resurrection invites us in to bear witness to the Spirit of God is at work and alive among God's people. Recognizing that God is alive among us and attuning us to God's work and will in this world requires that we take a cue from these faithful followers on the road to Emmaus. There's more to the resurrection encounter than just blurry vision and broken hearts and perplexed disciples. Within the resurrection encounter, there is a powerful lesson, a convicting reminder, and a precious call placed upon the lives of all God's people. That call is this: God has called each and every one of us to live as resurrection people, forever changed by the life and love of Jesus Christ. In calling us to live as resurrection people, God also reminds us Jesus is present in our lives, simply waiting for us to notice. Looking, living, and loving as resurrection people requires practice. The disciples who gathered on the road to Emmaus offer us a compelling case study and a practical guide for what it might mean for us to practice looking for Christ in our midst, what it means for us to practice resurrection. They offer us a glimpse of what our world, our faith, and ourselves as individuals might be like and look like if we began to gaze through the lens of resurrection. And so, as this somewhat comical and absolutely crucial for our faith story unfolds, we discover, step by step, how to recognize and respond to Jesus in our midst. As Jesus approached those disciples, you heard the scripture say they were deep in conversation, still reeling from the events of the last several days, and instead of bottling it up and holding back, of hunkering down in a bunker somewhere, they were talking on this well-traveled road, having a vulnerable conversation about their grief and confusion, allowing them to see one another in the state of mind and heart they were in. They allowed themselves to be vulnerable and authentic. Being vulnerable is step one in recognizing and responding to Jesus in our midst. When we dare lay our hearts open to have tender conversations, to be present to the beauty and the brokenness, all of it in our world, we create sacred space where God can begin to be at work. We allow divinely inspired questions and conversations to take place. These are the kinds of conversations that transform us and the world. Indeed, when Jesus met those disciples and heard them talking, he asked what it was that they were talking about. And they took that invitation as an opportunity to share openly and honestly. Not from any high horse or great place of seeing their faith as the only beacon of light to shine, but the burden and the blessing that comes with being a people of faith. They shared with this stranger who was fast becoming a friend what it is to grapple with faith in the midst of darkness and doubt. They shared with this stranger fast becoming a friend what it is to wonder if any of this truly means anything. And in their sharing, they began to build relationship. As Jesus prepares to take his leave of them, as they've come to the end of this journey together, these disciples ask that their friend might stay. They don't want this companion to go away without a meal or a safe place to lay his head for the night. And so Jesus accepts that invitation and stays for dinner. When Jesus breaks and blesses the bread with these disciples, they finally recognize him. This individual who they first saw as a stranger, quickly welcomed as a friend, and finally recognized as their savior. Relationship. Building relationship is the second step of recognizing and responding to Jesus in our midst. When we enter into true relationship with others, we exhibit care, concern, and compassion for them. Countless times, Jesus taught his disciples that by entering into righteous, compassionate, and just relationship with one another, that we will be able to express our abiding love for God, and we will be able to experience God's abiding love for us. And it's in this moment that these two disciples realize that the one with whom they have spent the day is Jesus. They realize that Jesus can enter into their midst at any time, anywhere, through anyone. They cannot believe how stupid they've been. They cannot believe that they didn't notice until this very moment that Jesus was with them. They can't believe that one so divine, one so beyond their comprehension, might be one so unassuming in the approach. Their saving grace in this moment, the saving grace that allows them to feel comfortable telling this embarrassing story, is that when they encountered this stranger, they loved him as Jesus would have, and loved him as though he were Jesus. Loving like Jesus is step three of recognizing and responding to Jesus in our midst. When we are willing to love like Jesus does, without exception, exclusion, or agenda, we step out of the shadow of the cross. When we're willing to love like Jesus does with grace, mercy, and abundance, we step into the light of resurrection. When we are willing to love one another as Jesus does, the power and promise of resurrection becomes something more than just Easter morning. It becomes our daily practice, our lifelong meditation, our commitment to one another and to our God, that each day we will proclaim that the tomb is empty, that death